Good morning. I'd like to welcome everybody here. Special welcome to Robin Long this morning. She's going to be bringing us a message this morning. So good to have you here. Jesus calls us to praise and prayer, to song and silence.
Jesus calls us to worship.
Jesus calls us to hearing and healing, to service and solidarity. Jesus calls us to advocacy and action.
Jesus calls us to justice.
We hear the call of Christ. We worship together with joy. Let's bow for prayer. Christ, whose insistent call disturbs our settled lives, give us discernment to hear your word, grace to relinquish our tasks, and courage to follow empty-handed wherever you may lead, so that the voice of your gospel may reach to the ends of the earth. In your name we pray. Amen. To turn to your blue hymnals, to hymn number 76, and let's sing Praise, I Will Praise You, Lord. Let's stand, please. Oh, first. Oh, that's right. I looked at the wrong one. Sorry. That was later on. Number six, here in this place. Let's stand, please.
Thank you.
be seated. First scripture I'm going to be reading this morning is from 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 to 7. In the Pew Bibles, you'll find it on page 813. 12, 4 to 7. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Let's bow for the offering prayer. Holy One, as you are faithful to us, may we be faithful to you. Faithful with our time and energy, faithful with our possessions and wealth. Receive these gifts by your grace. Multiply and use them through the power of the Holy Spirit to make real your reign of love, justice, and peace in our world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The offering plate is in the back for anybody who would like to contribute. Or for those at home, you may mail it into the church's address. Now I think it's time to sing "Here in This Place." No, it's time. Oh boy, I'm getting this all mixed up. Praise, I will praise you, Lord, from your hymnal number 76. Number 76. Let's stand, please. Seated. Our second scripture this morning is from Romans 12, verses 9 to 13. Romans 12, verses 9 to 13, and in your Pew Bibles, it's found on page 803. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality.
Good morning to you, Upper Milford Mennonite Church. I'm Robin Long. I'm a woman who believes in Jesus Christ and that he was a gift from God. It's such a delight to be here with you this morning. I visited this congregation to hear my good friend Jenny preach in the spring, and it was such a lovely invitation to receive to come back and share a message with you. I live in Perkasie, which you may or may not know is southeast of here, kind of right in between Doylestown and Quakertown, with my two children, Catherine and Jason, and my husband, David. I attend Blooming Glen Mennonite Church, where I worked for 16 years as administrative director before coming to work for Mennonite Central Committee, MCC, in January 4th of this year. And my mother is also joining me this morning. She doesn't live with us in Perkasie, but it's nice that we get to spend time together and live close by. And as I said, I'm no stranger to your pastor. Jenny and I worked together at Blooming Glen. She was a blessing to me in that time and truly a wonderful friend. I love you, Jenny. Romans 12:11 tells us, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Zeal and fervor aren't words that we normally use in our daily conversations, but I just found them to be very poignant and impactful. And my sharing this morning, service as a practice of love, is not a concept that's new to this church family. I know that. I'm well aware that you're all MCC champions with your donations of money, school kit supplies, and other supplies and resources and other areas of support. And these acts of service are expressions of love. And we're so grateful for that. And I know they're deeply rooted in your Christian DNA. Thank you for that. Thank you for your spiritual fervor. That's where that word fervor comes in. As you serve the Lord in these ways that supports our brothers and sisters all over the world, thank you. My sharing isn't to inspire you in your service, but I wanted to share a little bit about my experience and my sense of service and tell you about my spiritual fervor and zeal. In the recent months that I've come to work for MCC, I've had lots of opportunities, and of course, attending a church, I have opportunities, and it's always nice to experience those opportunities in conjunction with each other. Like you, I've served in various ways, and MCC and Blooming Glen Mennonite Church have opened the doors of opportunity for service, zeal, and fervor for me, and I consider that a gift. But what's truly a gift for me is that my vocation and my personal desire to serve are integrated. I get to serve in my work and in my personal life, and do that in the name of Christ, and that's a blessing for me. One example of that integration is this story that I'm going to tell you. In July, I went to Puerto Rico on a service trip with my husband David and my son Jason. So Jason, my son, just graduated high school in June, and his last youth group service trip, was in July to Puerto Rico. So the youth group went to Puerto Rico, and my husband David and I were invited to be the chefs for this group. So picture this. We're in, like, I'll call it jungle, because it is tropical. The island of Puerto Rico is basically around 100 miles long and 35 miles wide, and we were smack dab in the center of this beautiful island, which is very mountainous and rich in vegetation. It was just quite lovely. David and I were asked to be the chefs of this group of 25 sponsors and youth as they served two churches in that area that are still cleaning up and repairing from Hurricane Maria 5 years ago. So it's interesting, driving around the island, we saw so much evidence of this hurricane that was 5 years ago, which is pretty amazing. But anyway, my beautiful youth children that I go to church with went to serve, and they did amazing work, and it was lovely. And my husband and I, every morning, would get up at 5:30, and we'd put coffee on, and we'd prepare food. And we are people who do not like serving pre-made processed food, so we're making, you know, breakfast sandwiches and these hot breakfasts every morning with coffee. We put food out so they could pack their lunch and take it to the church. And then every night we had a beautiful hot meal waiting for them. And that gave us so much joy to serve in that way. But during the day, what did we do during the day? Well, we explored. We checked out the island and it was lovely. We also had to figure out where to get the food from, because as you can imagine, flying down to this country that I've never been to, we couldn't bring food and supplies, and we had no idea what type of cooking environment we would be in, what type of kitchen. So we just really said, you know what, God, you're giving us this opportunity, so we know that you have it all in control. And boy, was it an adventure. But one of the things that we were really mindful of that I'm happy that we were intentional about is that we know several Puerto Rican people who grew up in the Puerto Rico and now live in the States. And so we talked to all of these friends and acquaintances and said, tell us about Puerto Rico. And we heard many, many wonderful things. But it seemed pretty common that everybody said, you know, it's really disappointing that Puerto Rico is its own country, but it's a U.S. territory. And it's so disappointing that these rich Americans come down, buy property, gate it off, and don't put any money into the local economy. And that's really disappointing because there's opportunities there, and it seems just so separate, and it's just disappointing. So we made it a point to only purchase food from local vendors. We did not go to Costco, Walmart, Target. All of those stores are down there, and we could have easily done our big shop in one or two trips. But we chose instead to do little local grocery stores and mom-and-pop shops. In fact, I don't know if any of you have ever been to Puerto Rico, but these roads are like if you go off the side of the road, you're done. But these roads are traversing these intense cliffs and mountains, and it's just beautiful. And then there's these little mom-and-pop, like, chicken grill places, like, hanging off the edge, or pork barbecue, or mangoes and bananas, fresh fruit and vegetables, all these little stands. So we just did that, and we really had great luck. But even more beautiful was our connection with the people. I speak no Spanish other than, you know, hello, goodbye, where's the bathroom? And interestingly, in this area of Puerto Rico, not many people speak English. But I believe in my heart, from the other places I've been in the world, that when you have a true spirit of wanting to connect and being a guest in the land of the people that you're connecting with, it doesn't matter that you don't speak their language. And that's the experience we had. It was just so much fun. It was a giggle. We also learned, this was really intense for me too, and just beautiful. We learned about the indigenous peoples of Puerto Rico. We learned about tens of thousands of years ago how the country was populated, where those indigenous peoples came from, what happened when the Spaniards came to Puerto Rico, and where those people are today. There's some beautiful museums that one could visit, and we did, in fact, visit, and we looked at the relics and the property and read the history, and it was a very rich experience. But back to the service trip. So I'm in the church kitchen one day because we were asked to prepare a meal for the kids at the church instead of where we were living. And I'll just remind you that I'm on this service trip as a personal trip. This is not an MCC assignment. I'm here for personal reasons. So I'm flipping through the church kitchen looking for pots and pans, which was not easy. They just didn't have very much. And I thought, oh my goodness, how am I going to cook? So I'm going through all these cabinets, and I open these two cabinets up, and there were these cardboard boxes that say MCC. And I thought, oh yes, this is so cool. And I recognized them as cases for canned meat. So the canned meat that MCC sends all over the world comes from our traveling truck, the meat canner, which many of you probably are aware of. And I find these empty boxes. And I thought, oh, when I get back, I need to find out the Puerto Rico Hurricane Maria MCC story. And I did just that. In fact, Rolando Flores, who now lives in the Ephrata, Lancaster area, was the program director down there for many, many years, and he was there when the hurricane hit. And I said, Rolando, educate me. And it was a two-hour Zoom call, and it was so much fun. But he was sharing with me that MCC had a presence in Puerto Rico well before the hurricane. He was working with homeless people through our partner churches so that they can make a bigger impact. And he actually, in May, so the hurricane in 2017 hit in September. In May, just a few months before that, he received 200 boxes, which is 4,800 cans of canned beef that was sent for MCC for food insecurity. And then a few days after the hurricane, we sent down 800 boxes, which is 19,200 cans of chicken, and they were canned in Spartansburg, Pennsylvania. So you can see how embedded our communities are in doing the work of MCC. Sure, Puerto Rico isn't that far away, but these cans of meat go to Africa, they go to Eastern Europe, they go literally all over the world. And we were working with the church partners to ensure that we were making an impact with the relief that we were sending down. Another fascinating thing that Rolando shared with me is, in Puerto Rico, in this tropical environment, most of the homes and commercial buildings are built from cinder block, you know, block. And they're just basically block, it's block construction. So when the hurricane came through, of course, there was tons and tons of damage. But following the hurricane was an earthquake. And this block construction actually crumbled under that earthquake. So the people of Puerto Rico were very alarmed with this type of construction and wanted to start building with wood frame. Well, think about wood frame with hurricanes. Earthquakes in Puerto Rico really happen very infrequently. The thing that made them so alarmed was that earthquakes really have no warning. So this earthquake came really fast with no warning. But hurricanes, we do know when hurricanes are coming. So Rolando Flores, my Puerto Rican champion, said to himself, This just, we need to really understand building codes. We need to adhere to building codes. We need to protect the people of Puerto Rico in the future. We're going to have a ton of hurricanes. That's just the nature of this geographic location. So he started working with the local governments to understand building codes, and he actually crafted and wrote a building code training program for local builders, and he presented it to FEMA, who adapted it and use it today. So this is beyond MCC, this man. This is a man who loves his Christian brothers and sisters, and even non-Christian brothers and sisters, and wanted to ensure that their way of life was as solid as it could be. And I just thought that was really fascinating. It's fascinating also that MCC had a presence in Puerto Rico, and many of you know about MDS, Mennonite Disaster Service. MDS did not have a presence in Puerto Rico, so when the current hurricane hit, MDS was at the ready, but they had no connection in Puerto Rico. So they came to MCC and said, how can we work together to be effective in the rebuilding efforts there? And that was a beautiful partnership. And we also worked with Atlantic Coast Conference, ACC, and we were just a force to be reckoned with down there. We partnered together for relief, for rebuilding, and it was very impactful. I just want to read just very quickly what Rolando wrote in a publication, in an MCC publication that gave an overview of these events and how we partnered. In a distinct response to Hurricane Maria in Puerto Rico, Mennonite Disaster Service, MDS, and the Atlantic Coast Conference, ACC, of Mennonite Church USA collaborated with MCC in December 2017 to ship boxes of food, which held MCC canned turkey, among other food staples such as rice and seasonings. The 4,008 cans of turkey inside the food boxes that came from volunteers in Hinton, Virginia, and Myerstown, PA. At the writing of this, that was just a fraction of what I referenced earlier, the 19,000 cans that we sent. And it also further illustrates how different people, different congregations on the East Coast met up with the meat canner and made provisions. MDS and ACC churches provided support to pay for the food, supplies, and shipments, while MCC's staff and material resources centers in Ephrata gave logistical support. Oregon Dairy, a local grocery store and restaurant, provided the food supplies at heavily discounted prices. Tom Wenger, Material Resources Coordinator for MCC US, reflects, "The Puerto Rican hurricane response was a wonderful example of several groups coming together in working harmony," end quote. So you see that collaborative effort, these service organizations and volunteers that supported the service organizations were just a lovely expression of God's love and serving in the name of Christ. And I'd even say that the individuals of these churches served with fervor and zeal. Romans 12:11, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Paul wrote that in his letter with the intention of unifying the church. And I just love Paul's letters. He does such a great job. Even if you've ever spent time in Corinthians, he really gives us sort of the workbook 101 in how to unify the church, even our individual spiritual practices. And I just really appreciate him in these efforts, because our church, the unification and collaboration in our churches and our communities is what makes an impact, and I fully appreciate that. Service is a practice of love in the name of Christ, the way Christ also models God's love. Love will unify and heal. Service, what I love about service, in addition to everything I just said, it focuses on the needs of others. It's not a focus on ourselves. It requires us to be kind, courteous, sensitive, and concerned about people who are in crisis, suffering, or overlooked. The history of MCC, I don't know how much you know about the history of Mennonite Central Committee, but we have our roots in unification, such as what Paul was writing about. In 1920, there was a civil war in the Russia-Ukraine area. In that whole region, thousands upon thousands of people were experiencing famine, unrest, persecution, and violence. The situation had been unfolding for a couple of years before that, and because there were so many Russian Mennonites, Mennonites in Russia and Ukraine in that whole area, people were writing home to their families here in the United States, and we were becoming acutely aware of this terrible situation. So our Mennonite churches, as we have a history of doing, started reacting, saying, what can we do? How can we send relief? How can we connect with our brothers and sisters and help ease this suffering? The church, and churches started doing that. They started sending relief. They started sending money. They were even sending people. And the church leaders quickly realized that they could make a greater impact by working together. So all these different churches were doing all these beautiful things, but if we all came together and did these things, we would make a greater impact. Thus the name Mennonite Central Committee. We were truly centralized all these individual initiatives and committees that were happening, and MCC was born. It was a centralized committee of Anabaptist churches. They also realized that their blessings and their impact could extend beyond Mennonites in that region, and in fact it did. And I find that very beautiful too. Food and material relief were the main thrust in the 1920 to 1922 area. And then we began helping with farming techniques and methods. And that made an impact, and that made a more sustainable impact, because the people were starting to understand how to recover from, there was also drought, so crops, they had lost thousands and thousands of acres of crops. We even sent tractors over. We sent a total of 25 tractors over. And that's the development part of our MCC tagline, Relief, Development, and Peace in the Name of Christ. That's the development piece. We do a lot of that in the world with farming techniques and methods so we can help. We can help people to help themselves in the future. Another example of that happened much later, of course. It happened in the 20th century. Farmers in the Chaco region of Colombia lived along the banks of the San Juan River, and they did their own farming, and they had crops and harvest, et cetera, et cetera. But the San Juan River was very monitored by the government and by illegal armed forces that were doing a lot of illicit activities. So many times the farmers couldn't get their harvest to market because they couldn't navigate the San Juan River, which was the only access in and out of that Chaco region. So it was very unsafe too. About 15 years ago, armed groups expanded in the area and their illicit activities, and the Mennonite Brethren churches saw that this was unfolding to a degree that was just not okay, and they knew that they had to come together and find a solution. They formed an agricultural foundation, and they put into action the creation of a rice processing plant, and they committed to purchasing the farmers' harvests. That was super duper helpful. And MCC supported these projects through local churches and local partners to ensure that not only were they effective, but they were sustainable. They also later opened a cacao for farmers to grow cacao, and a cacao processing plant that produces chocolate. The Mennonite Brethren Church has remained autonomous with both the government and these factions, which has given them the ability to function with neutrality and being peace witnesses. That's also the development and peace in the name of Christ that MCC supports. And it's through the partners you can see this common theme of us working through partners in these various areas that helps us to be more impactful, because we don't have expertise in all these millions of places all over the world, but our partners do. And we're able to connect with the partners to give them the resources and the support to have to apply it in the expertise in those areas. So it makes a longer lasting impact. So where are we today? What's happening today? We know that the situation in Ukraine is unfolding still, and it's a horrible situation. It's ironic that MCC began there 100 years ago in that very region, and here we are again providing relief in Ukraine. We just sent 5 shipping containers filled with relief items to Ukraine, which arrived in July, and we're planning 2 more shipments later this year. Afghanistan, did you know that there was an earthquake in Afghanistan on June 21st? That's an area that we're sending relief to, too, but it's much more difficult simply because of the Taliban. It's really hard to get into Afghanistan and provide relief, but we are through partners. We have three partners there and four big projects, and this month we just started a food project, so we're able to make an impact there as well. So you can see these acts of service from many people all over the world in every story that MCC has the opportunity to coordinate. And the programs and logistics in sending these relief items and development and peace practices. There's volunteer churches from all over the world and in the United States that help, like you, collect school kit supplies, other relief kit supplies, monetary and other resource supplies. And we ensure through our partners that the people who receive this are truly the people who need it. Many in our country serve who aren't physically able. They serve by praying, by sending financial and other resources, and by engaging with their church families. My role at MCC is Donor Relations Associate. I'm basically a major gift officer who connects with donors and resources with relief, development, and peace opportunities. I share the MCC stories in settings like I am this morning and in other events, but I mainly connect with donors so that we can further the work of MCC. I believe we can all agree that through story, just the couple stories that I told you this morning and a thousand more that I could tell you another time, that that's what connects us as brothers and sisters in Christ and to help us with our walk here on earth in the name of Christ is our calling. It is service. I saw in your bulletin that you're getting ready to assemble school kits. Thank you. Is there by any chance that you're going to assemble 45,000 of them? I say that facetiously. 600. That is lovely. Thank you. You may have received, I don't know if you received a flyer yet from MCC asking for help in our commitment on the East Coast to put together 45,000 school kits. We're getting requests from our partners all over the world for school kits, and MCC wants to try to do 90,000 school kits by year end, and the East Coast is committing to doing 45,000. So thank you for your part in that. It's meaningful, and it's part of the one kit at a time getting us closer to our goal. Just very quickly, you may know of the other four areas of support that really support MCC. There's our relief sales that are all over the country. Our big Harrisburg, Pennsylvania relief sale at the Farm Show Complex happens usually at the end of March, beginning of April. That's a lovely way for people to come together and serve, share their financial resources, bid on quilts, eat fabulous food. This tradition extends all over our country, and it's beautiful. Our meat canner, I told you about the meat canner, it goes all over our country, and volunteers come together and can meat, which literally go all over our world. Material resources centers, there's one in Harleysville, one in Ephrata. People go there to knot quilts, put together kits, do a whole host of things. And then, of course, thrift shops. Thrift shops are a lovely support to MCC and communities. In all of these, it's not just MCC, it's you. It's our volunteers that come to help with these initiatives. It creates community, it creates opportunity to serve. It's just quite lovely. In closing, I invite you to keep praying. This is an important spiritual practice that I believe is the precursor to all that we will and do. Most of you, I'm sure all of you already do this. I invite you to serve as a practice of love in the name of Christ. It's likely that you already do that. I know that it is. If you're looking ways to expand your service or want new ways, MCC has opportunities for you as an individually or collectively as a church. I'm preaching to the choir here. You're already doing that, and we're so grateful. Thank you. I always think of the people of Ukraine, Afghanistan, Puerto Rico, Colombia, for our people all over the world who are suffering. Our brothers and sisters are the tapestry of our world, and it includes suffering and violence, but it also includes joy, love, and fellowship. It's a complex tapestry. I'd like to invite you to pray with me in closing in the form of a prayer called Creating the Church of Tomorrow, and this was written by Archbishop Oscar Romero. The words are his, but they're so meaningful to me. I want to share them with you. They're still meaningful to me each time I read them. Would you please pray with me while I read his prayer? It helps now and then to step back and take the long view. The kingdom is not only beyond our efforts, it is even beyond our vision. We accomplish in our lifetime only a fraction of the magnificent enterprise that is God's work. Nothing we do is complete, which is a way of saying that the kingdom always lies beyond us. No statement says all that could be said. No prayer fully expresses our faith. No confession brings perfection. No pastoral visit brings wholeness. No program accomplishes the church's mission. No set of goals and objectives includes everything. This is what we are about. We plant the seeds that one day will grow. We water the seeds already planted, knowing that they hold future promise. We lay foundations that will need further development. We provide yeast that provides far beyond our capabilities. We cannot do everything, and there's a sense of liberation in realizing that. This enables us to do something and to do it well. It may be incomplete, but it is a beginning, a step along the way, an opportunity for the Lord's grace to enter and do the rest. We may never see the end results, but that is the difference between the master builder and the worker. We are the workers, not master builders, ministers, not messiahs. We are prophets for a future, not our own. Amen. Thank you.
You open your blue hymnals and let's sing hymn number 548, Teach Me Thy Truth, and let's stand, please.
Thank you. Let's pray together. Holy Spirit, come. Glorify the work, the service that we do in your name. And today especially, bring comfort to those who are mourning. Help us to extend the grace and love and mercy you've shown us to all others, to be your face of love in this time. God, we align our wills to yours as we pray for the joys and concerns we heard earlier. And in this moment of silence, hear the prayers of your people. We pray also for our enemies to become friends, that the hungry and poor have plenty, that the oppressed be uplifted and justice be done, that all who are troubled have peace of mind, that our shame be redeemed, that wars and violence stop in your name, that our children and youth thrive, that the sick be healed, and that we have the courage to pray for complete healing, even for ailments we think are incurable, because you are in us. Help us to be your image of goodness and health. We pray for the upcoming Mosaic delegate session, that it glorifies you, that all of creation be restored, that leaders of the world be led by love, that those who serve this church are well supported, that this church, our ministries, and our families, friends, and pets be protected and enveloped in your love. God, we love you so very much. We pray as Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Yours is the kingdom, power, glory, now and forever. Amen.
Would you please stand for the blessing? This is a blessing that we got from the Worship Leaders edition of the new hymn book, Voices Together, and I think it's very beautiful. May God bless you with a restless discomfort about easy answers, half-truths, and superficial relationships, so that you may seek truth boldly and love deep within your heart. May God bless you with holy anger at injustice, oppression, and exploitation of people, so that you may work tirelessly for justice, freedom, and peace. May God bless you with the gift of tears to shed with all who suffer from pain, rejection, and starvation, so that you may reach out to bring comfort and transform pain into joy. And may God bless you with enough foolishness to believe that you really can make a difference in this world, so that you are able, with God's grace, to do what others claim cannot be done. Amen. Let's sing hymn number 544, When We Walk with the Lord.